Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. I hope everyone is doing great out there. This is your host, opera singer Bree Cooper, and I am here today to talk to you about a wonderful opera singer, an international opera singer, and I'm so excited about speaking with her. But first, we have to do a little house cleaning, which includes I received a package earlier this week, and it was from Alme. And the interesting thing is usually I'm in the drugstore, the grocery store, and I look at some of their cosmetics. And I've always wanted to try Alme, but I'm never sure about, like, is it for more mature people? I'm not sure. Sometimes the packaging is just kind of like, there it is. Is it an all-natural brand? That kind of thing. So I remember seeing their new line. It's called Treat Yourself. And it has this beautiful packaging, actually, the lipstick tubes. So anyway, as it turned out, they ended up sending me a tube of lipstick, which is by Alme. It's called Treat Yourself Lip Vibes. And they must have been reading my mind because the color is just beautiful. It's a perfect shade for me. And if you're a classical singer or if you're really busy, I told you guys that I ran for Congress recently, and one of the things that I took for granted was how much I really needed some sort of lipstick or a lip balm or lip gloss when I wore nothing else at all as far as makeup is concerned. So when I tried this, I've been using it literally every single day. I really love it. They have a few other shades. One is more pinkish color, but this one is Lip Vibes, and it's a deep red color, which is perfect because I'm like wearing it right now. And I'm not much of a makeup person, but I do like to wear a nice shade of lipstick. So thank you so much, Alme, for sponsoring this podcast for this episode. I really appreciate it. And today, like I said, we have a wonderful guest on our show. Her name is Anne Weeben, and she's from the United States. She's an international soprano, and we're going to talk about how she is ready to make waves in opera on the lake, and we're going to go into detail a little more about that. But first, Anne is a wonderful soprano. Like I said, she's been hailed by critics as sensual and radiant, with a hint of femme fatale in her velvety soprano. And in 2019, Ms. Weeben sang Rosalinda in Die Fledermaus with Oper Rundum as part of Vienna's Wir sind Wien, a festival she sang in the year before as Donna Anna in Don Giovanni. So if you don't know some of those operas, those are great operas to take a look at. And they're perfect for those of you who are just kind of getting into opera. You're really not sure about where to start, what productions to see. You should really take a listen to some of those operas that I just mentioned. She has raving reviews across Europe and in the United States. And in 2019, July, she will make her debut, or maybe she's already made it. I need to find that out, with the prestigious Salzburg Festival. And I am so excited to talk to her about how she has returned home as the founder and creator and director, creative director of Opera on the Lake, Minnesota's newest summer opera experience. So I'm really excited to talk to her about that. And, you know, Anne, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful. It is so, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for being such an amazing guest. When I read about Opera on the Lake, and literally I'm always on social media, so I'm always looking for different types of opera events to share with my audience. And one of the goals here at Opera Lushes is really to engage and entertain and educate audiences about opera and really kind of remove the mystique behind it, because from my experience, mm-hmm. I've had so many people say, you know, I really want to get into opera and they're kind of really excited about learning what it is about. And I just want to, you know, humanize it a little bit more for people. So I'm so grateful that you decided to be a guest on my show. I really appreciate it. But let's just get into it. When did you decide that opera was going to be your calling?
Oh, well, first of all, I love what you just said about your show. I'm so excited to be on it because that's really how I feel about opera as well. It's this kind of become this mysterious unicorn when really it's just fantastic music sung by fantastic singers and fantastic orchestras. It's really, I always like to say that opera is maybe not for everyone, but it should be for anyone. Anyone who wants access to it should have access to it. And, you know, sometimes it gets a bad rap for being a little stuffy, but I tell you, it is not. But yeah, so going back to your question here, I decided to start singing opera I sort of fell into it in a way. So I started playing violin when I was 8 and I grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota. And I was fortunate enough when I was 15 to start playing with their local symphony, the Bismarck Mandan Symphony. And that sort of opened my eyes to classical music even more. I mean, I heard classical music. My mom is a big fan, lots of Tchaikovsky. And but then really playing in the orchestra lit a little fire under my butt that classical music was really my thing. I sang in choirs and I did local theater and things. And then when I kind of figured out what opera was, I realized, that sort of combines everything I love. It's classical music. It's singing and it's also theater combined into one perfect little gem. So I decided to explore it a bit more. I knew I wanted to do vocal performance. And so I started studying that, saw a couple operas and thought, okay, this is it.
Oh, that's wonderful. What made you decide to move to Europe? So you attended college here in the United States. And then at what point did you decide, you know, I think I need to move to Europe? I know I experienced that. It was a great experience when I was there, but for me, I just got really homesick. So what made you decide to take the leap and move to Europe, and what has been your kind of inspiration to actually stay? It's one thing when you're there, but, it's another thing to actually stay and make it your home.
How
did you decide to make that decision?
Well, it kind of, again, it kind of fell into my lap a bit. I was a student at the University of Minnesota here in Minneapolis, and I decided that I really, really wanted to do study abroad. And I was in my senior year, and I hadn't done it yet. And I kind of thought, that's one of the main things I wanted to do. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to take a super senior year, and I'm going to go study abroad. So I wasn't sure where I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to go to Europe, and I also wanted to speak another language, but I'd been studying French and didn't really see anything in France that spoke my name. And then I saw in a random booklet about the IES Vienna program where there was no language requirements. They offered intensive German courses because, I'd had one semester of German as part of my undergrad studies, so didn't really speak it. Most of those programs have a pretty heavy language requirement. But thankfully, IES Vienna didn't. They gave you these intensive courses, and you could study music. They had, it's a wonderful program. I'm still in touch with them. They have music courses on campus in their beautiful building that they have downtown Vienna. And they have private voice teachers they bring in, private instrumental teachers. And so I thought, this sounds like the thing to do. So I decided to do a whole year of study abroad. And while I was there in Vienna, I realized pretty quickly that I loved it. And I found a wonderful voice teacher. Her name is Paulette Herbig, and she's still my teacher to this day. I just love this woman. I started making a different kind of progress, a little bit more. I don't know. It was just a different feeling. And living in a city where, we have the state opera, the Volksoper, the People's Opera, like Theater an der Wien. And so every night there are multiple productions of operas to see every single night of the year. Mm-hmm. So it's just a different energy surrounding the art form. And so I kind of knew I wanted to stay. I didn't really know how. And then I was offered a job at the study abroad office for 1 year to do, it's called a student assistant. So I could help incoming students, find the mail, what's called the post office. That's what it's called. Find the post office, chaperone field trips, that kind of thing. So I thought, yes, I will do this. And so I signed on to stay for another year. And in that year, I ended up doing a children's production of The Old Maid and the Thief with another former one of these IES study abroad students. And we did our general rehearsal at the conservatory because he was studying there. And then the director of the conservatory was there, Michael Pinkerton. And he then was like, hey, what have you thought about doing your master's degree in Vienna? And I thought, no, but why not? And so,
but I will.
So I auditioned for the master's program and got accepted to that at the Conservatory of Vienna. And then, so that was 2 years. And then I kind of started getting work and I thought, okay, this is rolling. I think I'll give it a try. So right around year five was when I had to say, okay, am I staying or am I going back? So it was, I had to make a conscious, everything else sort of, you know, like I said, it rolled into my lap a little bit. I mean, I think I was putting the energy out there that I wanted that, but I think around year five when I finished up at the conservatory and I got my first big job in Munich singing Donna Anna at a chamber opera there, I thought, okay, I'm going to stay, I'm going to do this. And then I fell in love and met a beautiful, wonderful Austrian man and married him. So that's another reason to stick around.
Oh, I didn't know you were married. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, to a wonderful Austrian man who was also a big impetus in making all of this Opera on the Lake stuff happen. So, so I've been over there for a while. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I have another question for you. You mentioned it a little bit in your answer, but what is the biggest difference between European audiences and American audiences? So I know just from personal experience, but what are your thoughts on, you know, what the biggest difference is regarding both audiences? And you did mention it earlier. I honestly think that it has to do with the fact that the fine arts or performing arts, classical music is brought into your life at such a young age, and it's kind of one of those things you do and you develop an appreciation for it. And for me, my experience in Austria, I was in Austria for a long time, was just the fact that, wow, it's so respected. You know, I mean, people just love the fact that if you're a classical singer, there just seems to be a lot of genuine appreciation for it and appreciation for the fact that, wow, that is a real discipline. You know, what can I do for you? You know, so I love that part. And I love the fact that, like you said, there are just so many performing opportunities all of the time for people to just kind of, you know, go in like they're going to a movie and they're just literally just, you know, it's a Wednesday night and, oh, no, I'm just going to this opera performance. I want to go hear the singer. I want to hear this orchestra. And that's what I love. But what are your personal views on how the audiences are different?
Well, 100% everything you just said. You know, every kid knows the magic flute. I mean, every kid knows it. It's part of their curriculum, you know. They grow up knowing who Mozart is, Beethoven. Not that we don't. We do in America as well. But it's different because it's from there. So it's really part of their cultural background. You know, we've got rock and roll over here, but they've got Mozart over there. So it's just a little bit different.
Very true.
And it is true that, you know, it is a valid cultural option any night of the week. And it's not that expensive. You know, you can do standing room tickets in Vienna for €3, €4, or get a standard ticket. Sure, you can spend $350 if you want, but you can also spend $30. So, you know, it's par for the course. Not that they take it for granted, but it's also over there. People are still like, "Whoa, you're an opera singer," but a little bit less because it's a bit. I don't want to say it's seen as a real job, but it is kind of seen as a real job. It's not a hobby.
It is, right? I mean, right down to the insurance.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I
want to – go ahead. Sorry.
But I also want to say on a positive side over here, what I've noticed in planning all of this is that Americans tend to think more outside the box and they're a bit more willing to be surprised and to open to their minds to – a different idea. Yeah, in Austria, it can get a little, well, Mozart can't be sung that way. Mozart can't be done that way. And over here, it's more like, well, give it a try. Give it a go.
Yeah, let's try.
So,
yeah, that's what I do love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's been really fun over here to see.
So let's move on into your new production of Opera on the Lake. And tell us a little bit about that. And what was your inspiration for starting Opera on the Lake? And just go into detail. Is it a summer music festival? Is it going to flourish into an opera company that's based there? Tell us a little bit more about just your inspiration for starting it.
Okay. Well, it comes a little bit from what I said just before, that in Vienna, I've been fortunate enough to sing in big productions, big traditional productions, big crazy modern productions. And I've also worked with two smaller companies. One you mentioned earlier, Oper Rundum, and another is an immersive theater group in Vienna where we do like interactive theater. And it's not opera, but it's like pure theater. And those two groups are kind of wacky over in Vienna. You know, it's like, whoa, what are you doing? And the audiences love it. You know, we won with this immersive theater group, Nesteval, it's called. We just did 30 performances of an originally written piece, and we sold out every single night. 30 performances.
Wow.
I mean, we scheduled 20,
then
we added 10 because it was going so well. And that was a big inspiration for me because this whole thing was started by my friend Martin. His name is Martin Finland. And he just said, you know, I have this idea. I'm going to try it. And so he did. He started this company 5 years ago, and it's really taken off in Vienna. And the same thing with Oper Rundum. The woman who runs that, her name is Anna Bernreitner. And she also, when she graduated from university, she's a director, and she said, I kind of want to do things like this. And so she just decided to do it. And seeing how, you know, it's possible and audiences respond so well to it. And I thought, okay, if they can do it, maybe I can do it too. And I decided to do it over here because I thought I could kind of combine I could bring a little of the Viennese flair on over. And if it worked in Vienna, it's definitely going to work over here. To bring this idea of a little bit more, I don't want to say that it's immersive and I don't want to say it's lighthearted, but I want it to be opera in an unexpected way. And I want it to be a chance for,
important.
It is really important. And it going back to the essence of what opera is, it doesn't have to be, you know, when Mozart was writing operas, people weren't seeing opera the way that they see it now. It was much more relaxed. It was much more like going to the movies. You could get a beer, you could get some popcorn, you could have a good time. And also with Fledermaus, which we're doing, it premiered in 1873. It was entertainment music. It was like, get up and dance and sing along, have a good time. I mean, it's still highly there's a lot of integrity to the music and respect for the art form. And it's not the easiest thing to sing for everyone, but it needs to get rid of a little bit of this holy, don't touch it. It has to be perfect type of thing. The idea of Opera on the Lake actually came from when I was talking to a friend of mine here in Minneapolis, and my husband was with me, and we were just having a beer talking about a project I had just done with Oper Rundum, and we were doing Fledermaus at swimming pools. And my friend said,
oh my gosh, that's
that
awesome.
So fun. Can you just do that in my backyard? And I thought, I totally could do that in your backyard. And then my husband was like,
that is
fun.
So awesome.
Just do it on the lake, do an opera on the lake. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a really fun idea. So that was like 3 years ago. And I just had the idea rolling in my head. And I talked to my family about it. I talked to friends here in Minnesota about it, but also over in Vienna. And sort of the overwhelming feeling was, it sounds really fun. You should just do it.
Yeah, sometimes you have to get out of your own headspace and then just go ahead and do it. Because sometimes done is better than perfect. And you can
Amen
learn a lot
that.
From
that,
that as well.
100% it. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm a big believer. And sometimes done is better than perfect. And I know as a you know, as a classically trained singer, we're used to getting it as perfect. I mean, people don't realize that being an opera singer is a lot like training as if you were going to the Olympics or something.
Oh,
I mean, you work and work and
100%.
Work on like maybe a 10-minute aria to do a competition, and people don't even realize that, you know, there could be five measures that you literally plowed over and sang repetitively just to get it right. So, that's when I discovered that, you know what, sometimes done is better than perfect, because how many of us have these recordings? And I know my first CD, I was on the fence a lot about that, and I just decided, you know what, let me just go ahead and sing something that I'm familiar with, that I feel comfortable with, and it was just myself and the pianist, and I said the only goal for this is for me to go through this process, do it the best I can, and then let everyone else decide, let the people decide.
Yes.
So I
totally
applaud you on going ahead and just saying, you know what, I've thought about it long enough, we're just, and your friends, we're just saying, you know what, we're just going to do it. So tell us about the date. When can people, and where can people buy tickets?
All right. So we have got three performances booked at the Como Lakeside Pavilion. It's in St. Paul, 10 minutes from downtown. That's wonderful about the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. We have lakes in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So this beautiful pavilion. So it's outdoor, but it is covered, so we can do it in all weather. And it's right on the lake. Gorgeous. So we have three performances at the Como Lakeside Pavilion, July 24th, 26th, and 27th at 7 p.m. nightly. And tickets are available on our website, which is www.operaonthelake.com/tickets.
Oh, wow. I wish I lived closer. I would be the first person there. It sounds so exciting. And I remember when I read about it, just following your page, and I was kind of like, oh, my gosh, that sounds amazing. And I've spoken with a lot of – I live outside in the Washington, D.C. area, but I've spoken with a lot of people who create community opera theater in locally here. I just wanted to make sure that just audiences know about the work that you're putting into it and the overall mission of it, which is kind of really sharing the art form, really making
Absolutely.
It approachable, making it fun, and encouraging that spark of curiosity about what opera is in a really great, approachable way. So I am so proud of you for doing this.
Thank you very much.
I applaud
very
you and your
you.
Husband. Yeah, I know the work that goes into it, and I really hope
that it
turns out to be everything that you want it to be. And this is the first year, right?
This is the first year, yeah. This is the premiere season. And, you know, going back, I think you asked me earlier, I do want this to be an annual thing. My dream is that Opera on the Lake is every summer a staple in everyone's calendar. Everyone knows, oh, they're coming back. What are they going to do this year?
Oh, yeah.
And not just
make
in
it a whole summer.
Experience. You know, I want to do, like, you know, like I said, the Viennese connection. I'd love to do a big Viennese gala where we throw a ball. I can bring over some Viennese singers and just have a great time and do this cultural exchange, because at the end of the day, it's also a cultural exchange. You know, we want to express and share ideas and expose people to this wonderful music and this wonderful art form that maybe we don't know about so much. So
where can our listeners find out more about you? Where, you know, what's your social platform? Where can they get in touch with you? Anyone who would like to hire you, where can they get in touch with you?
Yes. Hello. Well, so for Opera on the Lake, we are on Facebook and Instagram. On Instagram, we're Opera on the Lake with underscores between each word. But if you put it in, you'll find us, Opera on the Lake. And on Facebook, we're also facebook.com/Opera on the Lake. And then on our website, of course, we have links to all the social media, which is www.operaonthelake.com. And then as for me personally, my website, you can visit anytime, which is www.annweeben.com.
Oh, that's great. So for those of you who don't know as well, Opera Luscious has a blog. It's kind of like set up like a lifestyle blog. So on the blog, we talk about the same mission, just inspiring, entertaining, enhancing the lives of everyone around us through how opera can inspire us daily through different things. So there are a lot of opera-inspired recipes. There are a lot of opera-inspired interior design, and Anne is actually going to be our opera influencer this week. I'm excited to post that. It should be up Monday, and we're going to, the theme for this article for everyone out there, it's going to be inspiration and finding your inspiration, and I thought that this conversation would be a great lead in to the blog talk where she'll be, sorry, the blog where she will be featured this week. So I'm excited to post that on Monday, and I'm excited about everything that you and your husband are doing. And it's nice that you can come back and forth, right? How often do you visit or come home? Because I know, you know, you were saying that you're home for the few weeks for the opera on the lake.
Right. Yeah, it's, I try to get back at least once a year, if not twice, and for a longer stretch, because, you know, it's a long way off. It's a 7-hour time difference between Minneapolis and Vienna, and it's a long flight. So, you know, when I come back, I like to come back for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and this is a wonderful, I love the fact that I can be here. I can really, I can work, but I can also see my family. You know, I got to have dinner with my sister and her kids last night. It's great. And
Nice.
Yeah, and also a chance to share this a bit with my family, because, you know, my family has been over to see me perform. They've seen a couple shows, but, you know, now I can bring it over here and they get to also be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's exciting for me as well. So, and also I get to connect with a lot of people I went to university with. There are fantastic singers here in the Twin Cities area, and my cast is unbelievable. I am so lucky to have such a good cast.
How was the, we only have a few minutes left, but how was the audition process? Did you already know the singers? And one other little thing I wanted to squeeze in there, how did you decide what production you wanted to do?
Well, to start with that, I decided to do Fledermaus because I think it is just so darn fun. The whole story is about a big party. And I think I chose it also because I think when a lot of people think of opera, they think of like Bohème or Madame Butterfly, where it's drama, 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 people are dying, which is beautiful and wonderful. But, I mean, not people dying, but the music is
in the arts, right. I know what you mean.
Exactly. And Fledermaus is just so fun. And here in Minnesota, people love to get out at night, go out on the lake, have a couple beers, talk with friends. And that's kind of the essence of this piece in a way, you know, good time out with friends, maybe a little revenge kicked in there. So that's why I decided to do it.
Nice.
And then in terms of finding the cast, I, you know, thought back to when I was a student here, and I kept in touch with most people I studied with thanks to Facebook and Instagram. And so I contacted a few people I knew I would be interested in. And from there, I was like, do you know anybody who sings this or this or this? Could they send me their materials? Let's figure this out. And I ended up doing most of the auditions through video because I was in Vienna.
Oh, wow.
And when I was, I was in Minneapolis in April to actually do the auditions, but had to fly back to Vienna before I could actually do the audition. So I had everybody make me a video and send it in. And, you know, it worked. It worked.
That's great. That's excellent. Well, I'm going to have to wrap up here, but I want to say thank you so much again for being such a great guest on the Blog Talk Radio Show. And also, I'm so excited about featuring your tips for inspiration this week on our blog, Opera Luscious. And for those of you out there, remember to check out Anne's website, annewieben.com. That's AnneWieben.com. And also, those of you who are interested in finding out more about Opera on the Lake, you can also visit that website, operaonthelake.com. So thank you again, Anne. I really appreciate it.
Thank
you. And we will definitely connect, okay?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. And thank you for your platform and spreading the word about opera. You're doing wonderful work, and I'm very appreciative of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
So thank you, everyone who joined today. Thank you again to Al May, who sent me this lovely tube of lipstick. It is from their Treat Yourself collection, Lip Vibes, and I hope all of you go check it out. It's actually, I was really surprised when I got it. So thank you again, Al May. I'm looking forward to wearing more of it. I'm going to try the other one next, the more pink one. I think it's like gym time or something like that. Okay, well, I hope everyone has a great week, and thank you again to Anne for sharing her gift and sharing her story. I'm so excited.